Jay Wells of the Rolito Park Foundation. How are you, Jay?
Doing well today. Pretty day.
Yes, great day. Great day. I'm sure that the weather is always important for you guys. What's the weather look like for this weekend's runs or rides?
Well, I think we're going to be bookended by a little rain on Friday, which just should settle the dust, and then there's a threat of rain on Monday. But right now, the forecasts look good for Saturday and Sunday, and we're expecting another bang-up weekend like we had last weekend. So
yeah,
we're excited about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, the weather is always important to you guys, obviously. How was last weekend in a picture-perfect weekend?
Well, it was our biggest weekend to date. In fact, we were delighted because February, with the cold, people came, but they really weren't staying for as many races, and I can't blame them. But once the sunshine came out the first weekend in March, we broke the records that we had from previous weekends and got us back on track. And we actually surpassed attendance from this time last year, which is super important to us because last year we had the Budweiser Clydesdales on the first weekend of March. So even without the Clydesdales this year, the crowd's coming and making up for it in spades.
But you had a secret weapon this weekend, I understand, those Weenie Dogs. The Wiener Dogs.
The Wiener Dogs were a wonderful addition to what we've done. We've never had anything like that since I've been a part of the racetrack. And the students at the University of Arizona that interned with us came up with the concept, and we couldn't say no to them. And they did a fabulous job producing the Dachshund races, and the crowd loved them. And it was a lot of fun.
Oh, I bet. You know, these kids, they're pretty smart. Some of them pretty smart.
You know, I will say that when I was first approached about this some 5 years ago, I imagined college kids like I guess I was, but they're not. These folks are mature, they're smart, they're savvy, and they pay attention to their work. And, you know, it shows because one of the interns from 3 years ago is now, a young lady is now the head of social media for the Jockey Club. We've got others in positions at major tracks throughout the country, and so I'm always proud of saying that Rolito Park represents the history of horse racing by being the birthplace of quarter horse racing. But with our partnership and alliance with the University of Arizona programs, we represent the future, too.
I got caught up in a conversation with Bob. This is your fourth or fifth week. You're here for 6 weeks, correct?
Yeah, we just got through with our fourth weekend, and so this one will be our fifth, and then coming up the sixth, our last, on the 16th and 17th. This weekend is Western Heritage Weekend, and we have the Boys Chorus coming out on Saturday. We've got a Frankensteel, a country band playing all afternoon at the Budweiser Big Top. And then on Sunday, we've got pony races where literally the jockeys at the track ride small ponies. And it's not for something to wager on, but the board of supervisors are participating in it. And then we have Luke Rollins, who is one of the most renowned gunslingers and rope throwers in the world. He was on America's Got Talent, and also I think he was in Cirque du Soleil. So he's going to be performing on Sunday afternoon. So the weather is going to be beautiful, and we're expecting a packed house like we had last weekend.
If you're talking about packed crowds, are you looking probably for 2 days, maybe 11,000?
No, we haven't. But, you know, we were right under 10,000 last weekend. And, you know, it's hard to because some folks come for the early races and leave, and folks come for the later races. And so it's hard to see measure the crowds with its max capacity. But we had right at around 9,800 people for last weekend. And but we had the book festival, we had the golf tournament,
right. Mm-hmm.
And so this is just a demonstration that Rolito is a festival that's here to stay.
And you probably can't gauge this, but you can see it because I know you walk around a lot in the grandstand and other places that you probably see a lot of the regulars. But do you see some newcomers as well?
Oh, always. You know, it's one of those things. In fact, before I ever got involved with the racing, I was there, and there were two snowbirds from Minnesota. They'd just gotten off a plane, and the people that had said it was the last day of racing, and they said, if there's one place you've got to go when you land, is go to Rolito. You won't believe it. And we really do. We represent the best of all of Southern Arizona. And, you know, you can see everyone from diamonds all the way down to from torn boots. So it's really, I'm proud of that fact. Diversity is our energy, our strength, And, you know, we're probably the most commingled little festival or anything in Southern Arizona. I'm proud of that.
It's funny you say that because I was at the place not too long ago, and I think I ran into somebody Monday, and he says, you know what? I didn't realize going to Rodito was kind of like a great people-watching place. You know how you go to Vegas, you get this all diverse people. But, you know, Rodito is that place because you do see the diamonds at one area or two areas, and then you see a lot of the other people just kind of walking around having a good time.
Well, you know, what separates Rodito from all the rest of the tracks in the country is we're still doing it the old-fashioned way. It's there to have fun. The wagering is modest at best. You know, you're there to have a good time. People watch. It's kid-friendly. You know, we just it's a wonderful thing. And you know, every year, my heart gets a little bit more captured about what we're doing, and we're proud of the progress we've made and the direction we're heading.
So you talked about some of the other things going on last week, the book fair, you had the golf tournament, so that takes a little away. What happens when the basketball team playing at the same time?
Well, in fact, we do stop the races on typically the third weekend in March so that we don't go head-to-head with NCAA tournament. That is, we are a basketball town, and we learned that the hard way when we tried to run into early April, the very first year that we opened the track. And we do hope to expand the days. There could be some Friday evenings. There could be next year we're talking about actually having an opening day be the Friday before Super Bowl, run on Saturday, and then just have a Super Bowl party on that Sunday, and that would add two extra days. But really, until we get the conflict that we're having at the state level with, you know, we lost our share of wagering commissions in the state. And now, unfortunately, all of the horse monies generated in Pima County's betting parlors are going to Turf Paradise. And we lost over $200,000 when the dog track went out of business. We were collateral damage. So that's hurt us a good bit, and we've got to make up for it. And we're still trying to solve it legislatively as well.
Yeah, that's not good. Well, the reason I ask is Saturday there's a basketball game at 2:00.
That's, you know, when they're playing, that nearly never has hurt us because we turn on the TVs. You can sit there and watch the game, still be there and enjoy the excitement, the good food, the beverages, and it's that's never really been a big, huge issue for us. So we're looking forward to hosting that on our TV sets. We've got 140 TV sets spread throughout the racetrack. So if you want to watch U of A basketball, there's a place for you.
Yeah, we communicated earlier today. There was something going on at Santa Anita with some of the horses passing away or dying on the track. I'm curious, how does that affect you guys handle-wise? Because people who in Tucson can bet those races and get a portion of that money. How does that affect you?
Let me
preface this only because they're closing this weekend, and that's kind of why I asked the question.
Yeah, no, the wagering has never really been a big revenue stream for Rodito. Even though we're sending our signal throughout the world, we're really more food and beverage, admissions, parking. We're more of a festival, more so than your typical racetrack. So it won't have the impact on us that it will have on the betting parlors, et cetera. Santa Anita is suffering from something that no one knows what's going on. They just suspect that it's got something to do with the track. And I'm very proud that we were preemptive and started an equine wellness program in conjunction with the pre-vet students at the University of Arizona and additional vets brought in. And so far we've had one incident this year. The record's been wonderful, and we now are the only racetrack in Arizona where before every race day each horse entered has to have a track vet inspection. And out of some 200 and some odd horses that have run so far, 11 or 12 of them have been scratched. So we're starting to scratch means they're limited, they're barred from racing that day. So we're really trying to focus on that. We also brought in an ambulance and a paramedic for the jocks, which is not required by the state. But, you know, this is one case where being small means
right.
being big. And we're really proud of the efforts that we're making in conjunction with the U of A. Rodito is a shining example of what horse racing should be and could be, and we're going to do everything that we can to maintain that reputation.
Right. If this is week five, next weekend is the end of it, but that'll get us to like mid-March. Then you kind of come back for the Derby and the Preakness and the Belmont.
No, we have a Triple Crown series. It's a lot of fun. You know, we have the TVs going. There's great food. We kind of always add a southern spin to it. But it is packed. Derby Day will be huge. And then, of course, the Preakness is always big because there's a Triple Crown contender. And if we're lucky like we were last year and get a Triple Crown, winning the Preakness and then going on to the Belmont with an attempt to get the Triple Crown, wouldn't that be fabulous? You know, it's happened twice in the 5 years that we have operated the racetrack, both for native son Bob Baffert.
Yes,
so,
yes.
And he got his start at the track. And so I teasingly say that we brought him luck.
Well, actually, you know, you guys kind of have. You know, he was the first jockey here, or at least he started here as a jockey, and now he's gone into big-time fame. And let me tell you, I've been there every time for the Triple Crown, doing stories for a magazine and for Eye on Him. And let me tell you, 90% of them are pulling for him because they have that favorite that he has, you know, American Pharoah or the last one, and I just spaced the name. Justify.
Yeah.
So they're making, what, 80 cents on their $2. But, hey, it's the thrill of the whole thing.
Oh, it's the truth. It is a spectacle. That first year when American Pharoah won, the whole building was shaking.
Oh, yes, I was there.
It was something else.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're really, right now, we're hoping the weather will cooperate the last 4 days. This weekend, as I said, is Western Heritage Days. The final weekend on Saturday is Hispanic Heritage Day. We'll actually have a stage and concert set up in the Budweiser Big Top with three bands brought in from Mexico. And we're really excited about that. The consulate will join us. And then, of course, Sunday is St. Patrick's Day, so need I say more. It'll be a great way to close the meet.
Yeah, yeah. We just need to find that horse, Lucky, 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 or something like that.
He's out there. You just got to look.
That's right. Get the form. Hey, Jay, I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thanks. Thank you very, very much, everybody. We'll see you this weekend at the races.
Great, great. That was Jay Wells of the Rodino Park Foundation. Good guy. Always good talking to Jay. A lot of fun. If you have never gone to the track and just kind of want to spend your day, take $10 and, you know, bet a couple of races and enjoy the day. I might have to take you out there, Bob. Someday, but no dumb questions, please. Okay, here we go. I hope to be there sometime before it closes. Probably next weekend. We'll see.
What's their season?
It's 6 weeks. So from mid-February until now. 6 weeks. I would assume, let's assume for a second, 8,000 for a weekend. About 8 times 6.
6 weeks out of the whole year.
6 weeks out of the whole year, yeah. Huh. And like last week, remember when it was real cold and it kind of messed with the rodeo?
Yeah.
It put a damper on the attendance and people were kind of going and leaving early. So it put, 8 times 6, 48, probably about 40,000 people for the whole meet.
Mm. Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. I'm sure they generate pretty good money. Like I said, that's why I brought the Santa Anita thing up. Them closing down for the weekend, it's a big deal because I have some friends that have horses there and run them. I haven't talked to them to see what they're going to do, but I don't think maybe they didn't have any scheduled rides over the weekend. But very interesting. And it's been real wet in Southern California recently, so I'm sure maybe that could probably play a factor in some of the horses dying. We'll see.
Have you ever had a... horse? Jockey on as a horse? I assumed you didn't have a horse.
No.
Or you had a timeshare horse.
Yeah, no, but my friends have. Some friends have bought, stakes into a horse.
Oh, and...
Yeah, percentages into a horse.
Have you ever had a jockey on a show or...
No, but I've done some stories. I grew up in Santa Fe, not too far from Santa Fe Downs, and that's kind of where I started my interest in the sport. And they're another great story. A lot of them have great stories to tell, varied backgrounds. It's very difficult to keep weight when you're getting older, so it's tough to do that. That's probably the toughest thing they have to do. And they're strong dudes. They're strong dudes because of their size, and the horses are pretty big.
Hmm.
You have to be very strong, a lot of upper body and legs, leg work.
They have limitations of how much they can weigh.
Oh, yeah, because you have to be small. You have to keep
a
weight.
Little guy.
Yeah, for the horse's weight, they always monitor those. So, no, that's the big thing. Maybe one of these days, when you're lucky, I'll take you out to the racetrack.
What do I need, $10?
$10? That's good enough for five races. You could turn $10 into $20 or turn your $10 into $0.
What about like one of the long shots? Could I make more than that?
Oh, you can make a lot more money than
they
that.
They just don't win, though, too often?
Not that often. It's like Arizona winning the Pac-12 tournament. Their odds are not very good.
So there are some very disappointing horses?
Yes, very much so.
No heartbreakers, though.
That's why you stay away from them. Stay away from them. Hey, did you know that the Pima women's team played yesterday? I knew you knew that. Did you know that they won?
I think I saw that on allsportstucson.com.
Yeah, they won last night, so now they advance to the championship game on Saturday. I think it's Saturday, to get to the chance to play in the the Junior College National Championship. And tonight I might be going to the men's game at Pima. They play tonight, and then if they win that game, they play Saturday. With a chance to get back to the national title game, national tournament. They've been there the last couple of years and have done pretty well. So I think I might end up doing that.
Awesome.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. A lot going on. Sugar Skulls on Sunday, U of A basketball on Saturday, the women play in Vegas tomorrow or begin tomorrow. A lot of things going on. I'm sure I'm missing a bunch of things too. Baseball, softball. A big softball series with UA softball playing Florida State over the weekend. They beat the bejesus out of the New Mexico State Roadrunners. I think they're still the Roadrunners in New Mexico State. They're not the Aggies, or they weren't when I was in school. The softball team kind of playing better, although their competition is not that great. So we'll see.
I was looking at your website. How big is high school volleyball here in?
Boys or girls?
Both. I would think, both. Is there a difference between popularity of it? Or?
Well, the boys are going right now. The girls have already played. It's pretty much, I'm pretty positive.
Staggered seasons?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. So right now you're looking at the boys' season?
Right.
Yeah. And Andy Morales does a pretty good job with that. AllSportsTucson.com. If you don't even know about the website, go visit it. AllSportsTucson.com. We try to cover as much as we can in Southern Arizona. And I put all these podcasts, or most of these these shows on my website. And thank my sponsors for coming aboard and helping me out here. Hey, and if you'd like to sponsor or be an advertiser on my show, just let me know.
Hey, there's your cold sale or hot sale of the day. Did you know for your podcast also, your listeners will be able to search your podcasts
on KBOI?
By guest.
Oh, really? Oh, by KBOI?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that's how I do it. By the way, if you want to call in, please do, because we're going to hit the tail end of this second hour where Bob and I will either have to start talking about gibberish.
We will revert.
Yes, to little Mary Lou or me getting hurt in the 5K. But the number is 790-2040, 790-2040. Call us and let me know how I'm doing. In my choppy voice, and like I'm still suffering from a little cold or some allergies or something because I feel stuffy. Stuffy.
You sound a little.
Yeah. I feel that little. My nose feels like it's clogged up. A lot of things going on. Tell me about the basketball team. If you have any thoughts about the basketball team and their chances to go far in Vegas, one, and if will they win the game this weekend against ASU? I don't think they will if Jeter doesn't play. Or if he plays less than 20 minutes, because as of Monday, we didn't know what his limitations were or his availability was because of his injured right knee or injured knee. I don't know what.
Who's all out?
Just him.
Just him?
Well, Miller said, and you heard it, he's capable of going. Mm. They just don't know to what extent. So we'll see. I hope he plays because Arizona probably won't win without him. They played without Williams the first time and played really tough. They should have beat him on the road. I mean, I thought they played very admirably, very hard, very whatever. And I use that word when I asked Sean about the game, and he barked at me and says, "No way did we play hard." Do we have a caller?
He barked at you?
Well, he kind of like went back at me and says, "What are you talking about?" He didn't say that, but he looked at me like, we didn't play hard.
We haven't talked about America's sport today, and that's what your caller wants to talk about.
Okay, let's do it.
America's sport, right, Chuck?
Chuck, how are you?
Just fine. Yeah, talking about baseball.
Oh, Chuck, how are you? Yeah, you're Chuck, my baseball guy. Thanks for calling.
Yep. I guess you're having a difficult time getting the coach on, huh?
Well, I made a couple of attempts. Yeah, they played Michigan State last night, and they lost.
I know that.
I'm gonna. You know more about that than I do. So I'm still trying. I'm still gonna try to get him on and see what's going on. I have yet to be at a game so far. Too busy doing other things. Maybe once basketball season is over. Have you been out to see them yet?
Not yet. I'm planning on going though, pretty soon.
What have you read and what do you know?
Well, you know, they're a young team. Their pitching's young. They're going to, I think, get better as the season rolls on. As you know, it's a pretty long season
right.
in college baseball. So I think given time, I think they're going to improve over time. And I think they'll do just fine.
You sound like a guy who's followed Arizona baseball for a long time.
Yes, I guess I'm one of the few that have in the city. But, yeah, I enjoy it. I don't enjoy the length of the games. It's too bad they're so long. I think part of that can be attributed to the bats they use. I just wish they'd get rid of those bats and go with the wooden bats.
Yeah.
That would make a big difference.
Let me ask you, so if you have a history of following the program, what were your, I'm assuming good, so what were your impressions of Coach Kendall? And then I'll ask you about Lopez and some of the other guys.
Well, Coach Kendall to me was, I just got back in town when he was about ready to finish up, but he was a great baseball coach. He was very intelligent, well-spoken, just a gentleman in all aspects.
Okay, what about his replacement stint, who I've had on the show a few times?
Andy Lopez, to me, was almost in the same caliber. I mean, he was very outgoing. I don't think he's ever met a person he didn't like. And knew baseball in and out. And we were lucky as an organization, the U of A baseball team, baseball program, to have him as a coach. And it's too bad that he got sick. And so it's too bad we lost him because he still could have been a super coach.
Right, right. I kind of jokingly brought that up to him when he retired. I think he was 62 at the time. And I said, you know, you got a lot of gas left in the tank. And he says, thanks, Steve. You're the first person to tell me that. But now he's doing well, you know, obviously a man of God, and he's doing a lot of work for the TV stations.
I think it'd be great if you could get him on, you know, to have an interview with him. He's just a delight to listen to. So.
Yes, I've had him on the show, actually. I think it was in December. I love talking to Andy. He's a great storyteller. Great storyteller.
Yeah, I remember that conversation you had with him. So.
Yeah. Did you know?
He's really good.
Did you know Jerry Stitt as well?
Not very well, no.
Yeah,
no,
very smart sure. man. Very smart man. Loves the game. His players respect him tremendously. And what about Coach Wing?
No. Not much at all.
Yeah, yeah. No. When you're the assistant under Jerry Kendall, you know that you're taking a back seat to a great man.
You bet you are.
Yeah,
you bet you are.
What do you know about What do you know about Johnson, the new one?
You know, I think he's a good coach. I think he's still got a lot to learn when it comes to managing his pitchers. I don't think he does that good a job in determining when he's going to pull a pitcher and when he doesn't. And I think because of that, he gets in a lot of trouble, a lot of trouble. I think sometimes he leaves the pitchers in too long, and other times he pulls them too quickly. So that's just something that he's going to have to learn. And, of course, some of that has to do with, you know, the movement of players, you know. When you got a good player, you know, they're going to move – go to the major leagues, you know, they're going to get drafted. And that's too bad because at that point, once you get to know that pitcher, if you had him for the next year, things could be just so much better.
Right, right. In fact, the last one of his last games, I don't know if it was last night or the night before, he used a lot of pitchers, and I thought he was taking them out under weird circumstances. But I kind of agree with you. I wouldn't know, I'm not sure if I'm correct in that, but I know he does use a lot of pitchers.
Oh, tremendous amount. Yeah, I just think I don't think he lets his pitchers stay in the game. You know, I don't know if he's afraid that they're going to, you know, give it the base hit or home run or what, but that's something, you know, that's just part of the game. Part of the the game. If guy's throwing good, keep him in there. Don't bring in another pitcher.
Right, right. Well, Will, thanks for Chuck. Thanks for calling in. I hope to see you at a game soon. I'll be probably going after the basketball season.
Okay, good enough, Steve.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Bye.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I got to get you to a baseball game, too, there, Mr. Bob. I got to get you doing a lot of these things. But you take your own car, you know, because I don't want to have to pick you up.
No problem. I don't mind. I take a scooter.
Don't let Kasachik know. Hey, have we already taken our break at the bottom of the hour?
We need to take it.
Are we a little late? Okay, I was looking at the clock and I'm thinking, I don't know, if I can't remember. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Maybe I'll kind of steer you to the direction of the men's basketball team because I kind of know more of that.
Like the coach.
Yeah, the coach. And Chuck, thanks Chuck for calling in about baseball. Always good to talk to Chuck. He calls in from time to time. Pancho did not call in today, but I did get a text from him earlier. I think he was the guy that said, he can do my job. Mm. More power to you. He it would be a pay cut of about three times what he makes.
That's all?
Good luck with that, Pancho. See how that beer tastes when you're spending it on Pabst Blue Ribbon.
They still make that, huh?
I don't know, but that's all I could afford. I don't know.
Schlitz?
Something like that, yeah.
Stomach Schlitz.
I don't know. But I remember that's kind of growing up. That's the beer that, you know, was around when I can remember. And that bear. Was that the bear? The bear? The two bears?
The beer drinking bear?
Yeah, I don't know.
That always started forest fires? I don't remember that. I really,
I thought he prevented.
Drunk bear that played with matches. I don't know. Yeah. I know.
Pretty much. No, I think he prevented forest fires. Poured beer on the fire.
Not the last to know.
So what's anything you got curious about the U of A? You're worried about tickets. You're more concerned about getting tickets.
No, I'm worried if I ask a question, I'll be branded as, dumber than I already am.
The brand is already there, man.
That's
the brand is already there.
That is painful. So if.
Oh,
no, no, you hate those questions.
No, go ahead.
Who would you like to see as if Coach Miller won if Coach Miller is the South Carolina winner of the $1.5 billion that didn't give their name and he retires, who would you like to see?
That's a dumb question. No. That's a good question, but it's not answerable. And I wouldn't put my foot in my mouth for this, although everybody does it. I don't like going there, but let me tell you something. And I think I can say this. There's people on the internet. Obviously, well, if Sean's not here, let's go after Luke Walton, the former U of A guy who coached, who played here in the early 2000s. Looks like Luke is on his final days with the Lakers.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And I think the world of Luke Walton. In fact, I mentioned something yesterday on Facebook about that, where I think that, I don't think Arizona will be calling him to come here. And I don't think that he'd want this job. I could be totally wrong or off base, but I think that's correct, that Luke will have no problem finding another job in the NBA. Mother Teresa could not coach the Lakers right now because...
She knows nothing about basketball.
Yes, but I don't think basketball is her issue. It's more of the kumbaya of basketball and the people and the... And the chemistry that goes along with it. People don't understand how important that is. Chemistry, people liking to play with each other. And once you got LeBron on that roster, there's only one guy that's going to be able to coach that team. His name is LeBron James. And he might be doing that now. And the other guys are probably disgruntled because they were all part of the rumors to be traded not too long ago. And if you're going to be traded, Bob, in a job that you're in right now, how enthused would you like to be, or how enthused would you be coming to the station if you're a guy to be named later in a trade?
Short timer syndrome, I think, is what they call that in the workplace, right?
Oh, I guess, yeah, because you never know. You know,
your attitude goes down the tube. So who do you like college men's basketball coaches out of all of, who do you like besides Krzyzewski?
Oh, I who said? Don't throw that name out there.
Ooh.
Don't you put any names in my mouth.
I did.
Yeah, no, I think he's a good coach. Not that I don't like him. I'm I'm a fan, but I'm not a.
All right.
Why'd that name come up?
Because he's got the number one team, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. You know, there's another 300 I could name, but,
I don't know.
I actually thought you would say. Favorite
coaches are? I don't have
there
favorites.
There you go.
I don't have favorites.
Not a favorite.
Yeah. I think that Mark Few is a heck of a good coach. He'll never play coach here. His name had been mentioned cursory very early in the search for Coach Miller. Krzyzewski can obviously coach. He's very good. I think Barnes, who's at Tennessee, he was a heck of a good coach at Texas. Arizona used to play them year to year at Texas. We'd go down to Austin and watch those games here, and Texas would play here. Very good coach. He just kind of ran out of his welcome in Texas after all those years. Has some very good talent. Billy Donovan, obviously at Oklahoma City with the Thunder. It was a heck of a good college coach. I'm not saying guys who would replace Miller, of course.
But of course, right. Just ones that you think are good coaches.
Yeah.
What are those three coaches have in common that you think make them good coaches?
I think that the Mark Few's know how to deal with the kids today, gets the most out of them, and gets them to play hard together. You're seeing that Duke is having a hard time now because they don't have Williamson. Whether he comes back or not, I do not know, but they're struggling because part of his success is because they have so much talent. There's no question about that. It's how they get to play together. It's like the Golden State Warriors. Very good, very talented. Now they're taking their lumps. It's hard to sustain that excellence when you're that good because you have lulls and you get bored and you have chemistry issues or, you have these things. It's like being, it's like driving a Mercedes, and I'll make it just generic because I want to go somewhere else with it. Driving a Mercedes, you have to put a lot of maintenance into it. Every time it breaks down, you have to put a lot of money into it. The cost of gas is not just regular gas. It's expensive gas. There's a lot of work. It's like a high maintenance man or woman. You know, is it worth it? Is it worth it? These teams, like Coach Kerr, he does a great job because he's got that perfect temperament. Mm. He's not a jerk, yet he's not a good guy, if that makes any sense. He knows how to deal with people, and that one makes a good coach. You got to learn how to deal with people at that level. At the kid level, at the college level, you kind of have to know how to nurture them and to, as some people would say, you know how to put your arm around their back and know when to kick them in the butt.
And get them all to play together. Well together.
Yeah. And last year, if you remember, last year it couldn't be done. Too many egos in a room with one basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And kids today, and I've written this column before, kids today worry about numbers. You know, I got my 22 points and 10, whatever. It's not about numbers. If you have your 22 points and I have my 18 or whatever, it's not about you being better than me. It's just that your opportunity for 22 points is more than mine. And doesn't mean that you're a better basketball player than me. But kids today don't see that. If you're good enough to play at the next level and you score 12 points a game, guess what? You're still good enough to play at the next level.
Sure.
It's just your opportunities wasn't that great. And I think I've said this story before. Back in 2001, Richard Jefferson was coming out as a junior. He had just hurt his leg, broken his leg previously, maybe three months before. And he came out, and I had a colleague of mine, national colleague of mine, say that Richard's not going to be in the NBA. He's not good enough. He was averaging 12 points a game and maybe 7-8 rebounds a game. And he says his numbers don't sustain what it takes to be in the NBA. And I start laughing. I said, you're crazy. The guy is talented enough to play at the next level because it's about talent. It ain't about numbers.
But the kids just have the wrong perception? Or?
No, the guy, my colleague, just didn't see him enough. One, didn't know any better, but he was an expert, a so-called expert in this profession. And last I checked, I think Richard had at least a 17-year career. So the guy, just because you're talking on this microphone or me doesn't make me an authority of what actually is happening. Does that make sense? You know, it doesn't make me an expert. And there's no experts in anything. There are no gurus in anything.
And Ray's job is just to get us all to work well together.
You and I, right now it's just you and I, man. You and I. We're a team.
Two men indoor sports team. That's yes. What we are. And speaking of which, we do have another break before you get to your final moments.
We better, and I just got a text from another listener who said, and then the Mercedes blows up and it becomes worthless. See?
And everybody's talking about your car on the internet.
What a nice car. Yeah, what a nice car. Oh, it doesn't run, sir. Sorry.
It had so much potential.
Yeah, right, right. Amit, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Steve. How you guys doing?
Fine, thank you.
Good. I just thought I would ask you guys your thoughts on one thing. I was thinking, this is just pure speculation. I don't know how much time you guys get to speculate about what Sean Miller may or may not do, and you may have talked about it. I haven't heard you fully. But I thought there's a possibility that he could take, like, plead the fifth, if it's legally possible. I don't know what the parameters are to be able to do that. And it might even help the university in the sense that it could offer the university plausible deniability in that, you know, he's out there just to protect his family and protect himself, and we can't argue against that. And may just allow the university to kick the can down the road in terms of keeping him on board as a coach, and then just wait to see what the FBI really has on wiretaps. You know, again, it's all speculation, but, you know, either he knows that he's on wiretap and he has to finally tell the truth and lose his job, or he lies, which I don't think he's going to do, or he pleads the fifth. So I don't know. I think that fifth option might be something that is some, you know, something that might be plausible. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, I think thanks for the call, Amit. I think that's the worst thing he could do. One, for himself in terms of credibility, and then for the school's credibility, because that kind of already, whether it's true or not, you can assume that he was lying earlier in his statement that he made almost a year ago, last month, where he says, I have never, ever knowingly paid anybody or whatever, or tried to do that. So I think that's the worst thing he can do. And the deniable plausibility, and we've used that term a few times, and I've heard that term a few times, part of the NCAA issue, because this is more than just a criminal issue, and it doesn't involve Sean, it involves the NCAA. Part of the rules, and I can't remember what number it is on the rule book, where he's in charge of this program, whether he did anything directly or not, he was in charge of the program. So right there kind of already says that he's guilty of something, because of the situation with Book and or not Pasternak, we don't know yet, and Phelps is already, you know, been hired and
so
fired.
What do you think he is going to do? What do you think he's going to say?
Well, and also I think that it's my impression, and I don't know this, I haven't confirmed this on my own, that he's operating or speaking for the defense, and that's for Dawkins, to show that nothing has happened between the two. They were just having conversation. That's my impression. So what I think he's going to do, he's going to get on the stand and say that nothing has happened between him and Dawkins, and he has no knowledge of anything bad. That's what I think is going to happen. What comes of it, I do not know. Do they have more on him than we know? Possibly. I do not know that either. But when people say, well, he'd already be in trouble if they had something, true. Or they're waiting for this to break. You know, it's
right.
Speculation is way too early. We'll know more when we know in late April. And I've always said that this is a 9-inning game. We're in about the 8th inning, waiting to get to April. And we'll know what we know or what he knows when he takes the stand. Because I'm sure that the prosecution will have some information that I'm sure he's aware of or not aware of. But he's already denied knowing that he played a part in any of this. Although, do you have kids, Amit?
No, I don't.
So I've had kids, and they're older now. They're 21 and 23. I was responsible for them for, you know, till they're 18, and I'm kind of still responsible for them. At some point, if they do wrong or did wrong, guess who's going to have to answer to that?
Right.
Me.
You.
Me.
Yeah.
So this is kind of his baby. I mean, this team are his kids. So if he's in charge of this program, guess who's in charge? Well, he is, and he's responsible for it. I think the NCAA will be tougher on that side than on the criminal side that's going on right now. What will happen? My best guess is maybe it's just a slap in the wrist, and then they move on.
So do you think the FBI had some more cards to play that they haven't shown us, more wiretaps, something else out there that we learn even, like,
post-April and post-trial when they get all their data together and finally put a final report together, like, I don't know, June, July, whenever?
Possibly. I've been in this business a long time, and as I like to say, there's always more to the story. And uh-huh. what we know is what has been released or leaked to this point. Mm-hmm. Has other stuff been leaked? Or is there other stuff to be leaked? My guess is probably yes, or we'll never, you know, you see trials all the time. You don't know until they say, oh, really? I didn't know that, or I didn't know this. I think that's a good possibility that there's more to the story than we know, given what we know from Yahoo and all the other sports, because you're not going to hear it locally. No one's talking to us locally, and that's fine. We'll know when we know.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Steve. Just wanted to say hello, and glad to hear you guys.
Great. Thanks for listening, too. I appreciate it very much.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. That was Ameth. Thanks for calling. Anybody who wants to call in, I know sometimes my answers are kind of vague, but I can kind of say what I know to a point without kind of, you know, giving up too much in what I know. If I'm not able to write it, I shouldn't be able to say it, if that makes any sense.
I will write that down.
Yes. It's kind of like being a detective. You can't really arrest anybody. You can't do anything else until you know the facts or you have the evidence. And obviously I don't have the evidence. I'm not asking these type of questions, or I've stopped after a while because no one's talking. It's going to happen more nationally. And in about 5 or 6 weeks, we'll know more because of the trial in late April. If you noticed that we talked about this yesterday, Dawkins was sent to jail for 6 months. After all that, 6 months. And what'd you say? That was like, what was it?
I was saying, yeah, it's, you know, he's, it could have been a lot horrible. Then you said, have you ever
yes.
been to prison? I said, no, please enlighten me. And then you took the fifth.
No, I haven't. I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
I don't think you do want to know.
No. So a day is too many for me. I'm too pretty for prison. I'm too pretty.
Oh, that's a whole nother sport.
Yeah. Hey.